Could you build a business that's better for our planet? That's what I have set out to answer. Hi, I'm Marco Pimentel, marketing expert and entrepreneur and host of the podcast, Someone Like You. I become fascinated in finding creative climate solutions in business, and on the podcast, I break down how founders and CEOs are building climate-friendly business solutions that are opportunities for growth while being better for the planet. I wanted to take a second to tell you about our Season 2 sponsor, Springwise. Springwise is the global ESG innovation platform that offers its readers early access to the ideas transforming our world. I actually started using Springwise probably 10 years ago to review innovative startup ideas, and I've been a fan ever since. There are three new stories on the site every weekday featuring solutions to some of the biggest challenges we face as a global community. You'll find innovations in climate tech, renewable energy, plastic alternatives, the circular economy, and how we can live a more sustainable life. The stories are sourced and written by the Springwise team of journalists and will give you an inspiring take on what's right around the corner, whether you read it to inform your work or simply for a regular dose of optimism. Springwise sets the innovation agenda. The newsletter is free to access, and to sign up, visit springwise.com/newsletter-signup. Did you know that instead of holding steady, regenerative companies make courageous moves to reconnect with the social and environmental systems they're a part of? This week, we delve into the heart of regenerative business practices with Jill Doucette, who is the visionary behind Synergy Enterprises, who founded the company in 2008 with a mission to make a positive impact on the planet. As a leader in sustainable business practices, B Corp certification, and carbon accounting, Jill has cultivated an incredible team and inspired clients around the globe. On its own, Synergy stands as a global leader in regenerative business, rooted in the belief that business can contribute to the restoration of natural ecosystems and social equality. Synergy's environmental business experts provide tools and resources to achieve these goals sustainably. As a certified B Corp themselves and the Best for Workers 2021 honoree, Synergy collaborates with companies across sectors, helping them become award-winning businesses for environmental excellence and innovation. In this episode, Jill shares her journey of founding Synergy and its evolution into a leading force in regenerative business practices, and the company's mission to accelerate action towards a regenerative future, envisioning an economy that restores natural ecosystems and promotes social equality while minimizing environmental impact. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before we kind of talk about Synergy and what you've built over many years, and what I love about this conversation is that, you know, this is not a new business. You've been doing this and working in climate and focused on sustainability for a long time. And so excited to have you and to bring your experience to this conversation today. Thinking about earlier parts of your life or maybe education or early parts of your career, did any of that lead to starting Synergy? Was there any correlation? Were you, did you love outdoors and the environment? Like how did you think about the environment and what led you to kind of think, man, I really, really, really need to be involved in this space?
Well, I grew up in a pretty rural environment where there wasn't a lot of, let's say, environmentalism whatsoever. You know, we drove big pickup trucks and had bushfires and, you know, it was rural living. But we're very connected to our natural environment and really was in the beauty of it every day. So I always had a reverence for the natural world, and I wanted to study it more. So I did my first studies in biology and went on to climatology and clean technology entrepreneurship in terms of studies. But I don't think it was really driven by that. I think what I was more so driven by is seeing the disconnect between the business world and what I was learning in university. I was hearing that, you know, businesses were the enemy of all things, really, and was destroying the planet. And if business just ceased to exist, then the world would be a better place. And I just didn't buy it. I couldn't sit with that. You know, my parents were entrepreneurs. I had a business that I started when I was 17 and another one when I was 19. And so I always had this kind of entrepreneurial background. And I wanted to bring those two worlds together. And that's sort of where Synergy emerged from.
And when you first had the idea for Synergy, what was the basis of the business? Like what were you hoping to do with Synergy?
Synergy, you know, like a lot of businesses that I'm sure you've had on this podcast, sort of happened by accident. It was a project that turned into a business. So after having a painting company and a lot of those kind of early young businesses, they were quite disastrous, actually, but I learned a lot about business. I took a break, went back to school, and got really involved in some of the World Student Environmental Summit work, and was going to conferences in Japan and Germany and all over the world, learning about these things. And after being very involved for a number of years in that sort of global nonprofit space, you know, coming back to Victoria and saying, well, I want to just try something here. I want to try to make a business carbon neutral. And this is 2007-ish. This was a brand new concept, and was able to pilot that at a local coffee shop. And then over the course of about, you know, a year, we were able to really see the business benefits of it. People were sticking around longer, less turnover, more employee retention, customer retention, lower costs in operating the business, all of these benefits that came from it. We measured it. And then other businesses started asking me if I could, you know, repeat the same thing for their companies of all different kinds. And I needed something to call this. So that's where Synergy came from.
And so project to business, obviously this is really, really early. And well, I wouldn't say it's early in our days of climate and sustainability in terms of what we've been doing from the business understanding of this idea of being, you know, climate neutral or carbon neutral, that was very, very, very early. How did you start to convince, was it the success of that one company that was like, that worked really well, how do you do this? And then But how do you start to build a real business when there was such, probably, was it really, really hard in terms of the demand? Because that's kind of the thing that I was, you can see now the demand has probably picked up, of course. But back then, you know, it seems like you'd be having to really convince people that this is something worthwhile.
Oh, definitely. Some of those early conversations looking back are kind of comical. Like I remember the first business, this coffee shop that I worked with. You know, when I said, hey, you know, what do you think about trying to make this business carbon neutral? He was like, I'm going to die in 40 years. Like, why would I care about this? I don't understand why climate change is my business. And a lot of the conversations were like that, you know, that connection hadn't really been made in general in business, in terms of like the role of any company in this. This was the government's problem to solve. And if it even exists. For real, you know, so that was more the sentiment at the time. So really had to convince them that this was going to be a cost-cutting initiative and a way to market your business differently. And now we see that shifting where more businesses are saying, this is part of our core value set in just how we want to operate and the impact we want to have on the world in general. But you really had to make the business case very, very crystal clear and very measurable in those early days. And I think the focus on that allowed us to get a really strong start because it de-risked it for people who were thinking about trying this and kind of going on a different journey in their business.
And so, kind of thinking about this market, Synergy, fast forward to today, has obviously been around for quite some time. What's the market? Is it all of these businesses? Because you see businesses say, you know, we want to be climate neutral by 2030, and you see also these reports where all these businesses are starting to say that this is what we're doing, and then you kind of look at where they need to go, and they're not even close to it. So, I guess what's the problem, and what's the market, and then how is Synergy trying to find a way to build your business in terms of kind of helping companies get there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been really fortunate to work with a lot of firsts. We've had you know, I consider them kind of brave businesses who were like, let's do this. I'm 100% in. We want to be the most sustainable business that we can possibly be. We want to truly decarbonize our operations. We, you know, worked with the first carbon neutral hotel, did the first carbon neutral fast food chain, all kinds of different businesses. First carbon neutral copper mine. So, you know, really, really broad. And now where our focus is still continuing to work with those leaders. Our mission is really to work with leaders in a variety of sectors, because what we've seen is that when one can push the envelope and show what's possible, the rest in the sector will generally follow to some degree. So being able to be on that leading edge in a multitude of sectors allows us to be a small company with a very big impact. And that really is, you know, in a nutshell, what we're trying to accomplish as a company is, you know, we're not trying to be the biggest firm. We're not trying to say, oh, we're going to be the next Ernst & Young of carbon accounting or something. We're really trying to have the impact of a company that's 100 times our size through our strategy and how we work, who we work with. So we also work with industry associations to say, let's build something or let's create a program that will help all of the members in your industry association. Those types of strategies that allow us to work with entire sectors.
And from the process side of things, are these companies that are the carbon, the first carbon, you know, neutral copper mine, is all of this voluntary? Is this in a regulatory market? And do you service both of those customers, or where do you, and I guess where do you service the market?
In the voluntary space, you know, regulation is always a solid 10 years behind. So that's not really our space primarily. Our space is definitely on the, once it becomes regulated, we generally exit that space. Like, okay, great. Perfect. Now we can move on. You know, that to me would be a signal that we are lagging behind if we're starting to doing regulated work. So it's more of a philosophy of where do we want to sit on that diffusion of innovation curve? You know, if we're working on things that are now regulated, we need to move on. And it's a fantastic thing to see regulation start to catch up. We've seen some of that in certain sectors, aviation or marine, where, you know, it does start to catch up, and that's great. Okay, so what's next? Because at the end of the day, working towards our climate goals is going to require a great degree of effort and lift and innovation. So we don't do much in the regulatory space, but I can say that over the last 10 years, it's been astonishing to see the momentum that's happened. And I know the rhetoric is around, we're not doing enough. And in many ways that's true, but I've also seen a rapid pace of uptake of new technologies and innovations. And I think the next 10 years is really going to be a game changer.
Yeah. And so how does a, you know, the simple side of things is how does a company or a business that wants to do good and wants to look at their business from a, how do I become carbon neutral? And how do they work with you, and how does a business even do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, taking maybe a simple example could be a hotel brand or hotel chain. The first step is to understand what the carbon emissions profile is. So the first step is always to measure and gain an understanding of the emissions of the business. So we would establish a baseline emissions inventory, and then we would work on a decarbonization plan for the business. So this is where we really look at practical ways that this business can reduce its emissions in the short, medium, and long term. And sometimes there might be three different pathways that a business could choose to take depending on their technology choices or strategies. But once they have those pathways established, then it's working through an annual process of prioritizing the investments and initiatives on any given year, implementing those, measuring the results. And you just start to see that continuous decline in emissions as the business starts to decarbonize. And ideally, at the same time, what you're seeing is an upcreep of some of the positive benefits that result. So attracting better staff, starting to attract different customers that are leaning into more sustainable products or services, et cetera. So we see the business slowly decarbonize and slowly enhance in terms of its general prosperity.
When something like a hotel does this, and you know, and I'm talking, you know, you see that, you know, we use less water, we are using different soaps, and we're just talking about this, but what you're talking about is looking at their entirety of their entire operations, how they power their buildings, how they what supplies and what products. So if they're working towards those type of goals, how long does, and I know this question obviously will dependent on their goals, the industry that you're in the business, but for a generalized term, for a company to say, let's look at this, let's measure this, let's review this and build out a plan, how long are these plans typically in place for, or need to be in place for typically to have success?
It does depend on the type of client. Like, for example, we're working with a couple of train operators, and some of the technology is ready, and some of the technology is worth waiting another 2 years because of the rapid pace of development at the moment. So in that case, we have, you know, more of a 6-year trajectory there. So we're looking at it in 2-year sprints. You know, what can we do in the next 24 months? What does the next 48 look like after that? And those are different strategies and approaches. And sometimes you also need more time for capital planning if you're really talking about making strategic investments in the business. So capital intensive or heavy asset operators tend to be on a longer time frame, whereas a business that perhaps, you know, leases properties and has pretty close supplier relationships, a lot of their decarbonization efforts can happen within, you know, 2 to 3 years. You can see a really steep decline. They can half their emissions in 2 years if they want to, and they have those, you know, that level of commitment. So it depends on the nature of the business and the complexity of the assets, really,
and the benefit to the business. I guess that's the, you know, you've been able to have the time to see companies go through the work that you do at Synergy. What's typically the most common benefits? Is it financially? Is it kind of on the, are they able to, you know, leverage this for marketing purposes? Like, or maybe there's a multitude of different things that companies get from it, but what have you seen from companies going through the program?
Well, the benefits are in a number of categories, certainly. Sometimes it's about attracting investment as well. And we're seeing that being a pretty strong driver right now with the markets for ESG and the requirements around carbon disclosure happening. So investment attraction, I would say, is a newer one in terms of drivers. It's an emergent driver that's growing very quickly. But other drivers include attracting and retaining talent, entering new markets or being more relevant in markets, especially in spaces like travel and tourism. That's a really important one. But even markets like financial institutions. And then, of course, future-proofing the business. And this requires a little bit more, you know, conceptualizing the risks to the business in the future. If they don't decarbonize, what does that look like to them? Are they going to see divestment in their company? Are they going to perhaps see that they're not relevant in certain markets? Or even, for example, what are the risks in weather patterns that might affect them in terms of brownouts or power outages? Does investing in renewable just make sense for them as backup power while also decarbonizing? So, you know, also really looking at adaptation and minimizing risks in the future.
Yeah, I've heard from others that, you know, there is this possible future in the regulated market, for instance, you know, just thinking about banks, that if banks start to really put a plan together around ESG and what they're going to invest in, there is an opportunity or there is a future where a small business might not be able to get a loan from a business if they don't have, you know, the plan or the ESG plan or the review. Is that something that, you know, it has come up in conversation?
Oh, for sure. It's a competitive advantage, absolutely. And, you know, There's a risk of greenwashing there, of course, as well. You know, companies may approach us and say, I want an ESG report. Well, there's not a ton to report, you know? So this has to be way more integrated into your business. You can't just slap together an ESG report. And unfortunately, that happens a lot, you know? There are other companies who will do that, and they'll put something together and, you know, scrape together some random indicators and call it an ESG report. So there's a certain level of scrutiny that's needed, and we're seeing more standardization when it comes to this kind of reporting, and that's going to take shape in a big way over the next, I would say, 12 to 24 months. So again, on the future proofing side, it's about, do you even know what you're doing? Do you even understand your impact? Because you're going to be asked to report it at some point in time. And are you going to be ahead of that and be part of the leaders in that space? Or are you going to be behind the eight ball and not gaining any of the benefits of being progressive in that space?
Every week on Someone Like You, we dive into stimulating conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, business owners, and the likes who are consciously and successfully creating sustainable business solutions for the long haul. Tune in every week for a new inspiring conversation on leading climate solutions. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it. And also, don't forget, subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and a review. And how do the actual logistics work for companies that are looking to become carbon neutral in terms of you hear a lot, and obviously there's a lot of research going on right now around, you know, carbon credits and you know, making changes in terms of, like, this hotel example that you talk about. Like, a hotel can they can look at what their emissions are, and there's opportunities to be carbon neutral by purchasing offsets. You know, people talk about this, but how does that play into the plans? And you know, offsetting is not entirely bad, and there are great programs. There's great credits. There are great things that people are doing. I think it's just used in a way that is, you know, getting, you know, tree planting, for instance, right? Like, there's a lot of bad research right now that are happening, that 90% of tree planting is actually not happening, or they're dying and not actually providing that credit. How does a company kind of look at this when they're thinking about becoming carbon neutral, and how does that play a factor into the plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good question. And, you know, when we look at carbon neutrality, you know, we really see that as the optional additional step that a business can do. So it's not, it's not, oh, do you want to decarbonize your own operations in really practical, meaningful ways, or go carbon neutral and just buy offsets instead to mitigate that impact? It's more of an and thing. So what we look at, for example, a manufacturing company that we worked with, they've decarbonized their operations by 60%. But that remaining 40% is not possible because they actually don't own their main plant. They lease it. So they can't change the central heating system. So longer term, they'll buy their own facility, but that's a 10-year plan. So in the meantime, what do they do with that remaining 40% that they can't decarbonize within their fleet or their operations? So that 40% is what they choose to purchase offsets against. So they have gone down this decarbonization journey, and this is over a number of years. You know, they got to 60% decarbonized through making continuous improvements over a number of years. And all throughout that journey, they've been offsetting whatever the remainder is. But the goal really is to not need offsets. Offsets have always, in my mind, been a temporary market mechanism to fund projects that wouldn't otherwise be fundable in any, you know, normal commercial environment. And that's the question of additionality. And I've seen a number of fantastic projects happen, you know, pieces of land that have been conserved and put into the hands of, you know, the Nature Conservancy and other fantastic groups because of carbon offsets and that climate financing. But there are some, you know, carbon offsets. There was a lot of hype, and there were some projects that perhaps should never have been verified. Those are projects that we've never supported. You know, I remember looking at those profiles and just shaking my head and saying, how did this get verified? You know, this is such a garbage project, you know? And if you have a knowledge of the carbon market, you can really see that. So none of these news pieces were surprising to me, but we've always had a high degree of scrutiny when it comes to the projects that our clients support.
And from companies thinking about doing this, is the demand, have you seen the demand and interest in obviously working with Synergy, being carbon neutral or, you know, carbon neutrality, how to decarbonize their businesses? How has the change been over the last 10 years in terms of, you know, people laughing and saying, why do I care about this? I'm going to be dead in 40 years. This is a government problem. How has the market been in general of businesses saying, you know, this is something that's now, you know, this is important to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think it's been an incredible change in the market for sure. In every single sector, you've seen this change from transportation to manufacturing and consumer goods and B2B companies. It's across the board. And I think it's really being driven by general market sentiment as well. You know, consumers wanting to support more sustainable products, for example, even in the B2B space, seeing procurement change and wanting to bring those values into commercial buying. I mean, it's been a phenomenal shift. I do think that that there is more scrutiny needed when it comes to defining what is sustainable. And sometimes there's a real focus on the new things when the solution is sometimes a throwback to the old ways of doing things as well. So, you know, we really have to think about, I think, what are we trying to create in our communities and our businesses here and work from that vision backwards. So though there's a lot of hype in the green space, it still does require a certain amount of scrutiny to avoid the greenwashing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was fortunate to listen to a presentation by Dr. Foley from Project Drawdown recently. And his big thing was just talking about now versus new, and a lot of things, you know, using the what we have now because of the compounding effect of carbon in our atmosphere and how it works is really time is a huge factor in all of this. And so ensuring that we are using those things now. You had said when you think about your business that, you know, you work towards having about 100 times the impact of the size of your business, and you don't want to be, you know, the Ernst & Young of on that kind of competing side. So when you think about the next kind of 3 to 5 years, how do you achieve that, and what's your plan to kind of continue to have that outsized impact?
Yeah, I think, you know, really, through the projects that we work on and the projects that we design is how we'll reach that. Like, for example, working with companies who want to be leaders in their own sector, you know, that gives us that multiplier in terms of impact, or working on a project that we know will have a ripple effect across a whole region or across a whole sector or community. So that's really what we're focused on. We've also done projects on a fairly large scale. We wrote a renewable energy strategy for a small country in the Caribbean, and in terms of their energy profile and what that could look like. And that's been very cool to see the influence that's had. We've measured the carbon footprint of all tourism on Vancouver Island, which was one of the first of those kinds of studies that was done, Auckland, Valencia, and here. So, you know, trying to really push the needle is what we're focused on. And, you know, we've been so lucky to work with businesses that are willing to be on that journey. They're saying, yes, we want to be the best in this space. We want to truly decarbonize our operations. So let's do it. How do we do it? And working with the right customers is a big part of that.
Yeah. And when it comes to your team, you know, the expertise, I'm just thinking about you saying that we built up, you know, a plan for a small Caribbean island. What is your team in terms of expertise made out of to be able to achieve that? And you know, is it people from the accounting side? Is it from the biology? Like, where, what does your team makeup look like to be able to do this?
Now, we have a surprising degree of variety in terms of team background because we do a lot of the training in-house in terms of actually GHG accounting and decarbonization. And we have built our own databases and resources for over the years of pretty much every decarbonization solution we've ever come across. So we have our own databases that we utilize. So we have this kind of library of knowledge that we can all access. So when it comes to our team expertise, some of them have business backgrounds, some of them have backgrounds in, say, sustainable tourism. Some is more in the environmental technology side or engineering side. So it's quite a varied set of backgrounds that people come here with. And then they learn, at Synergy how to apply some of these climate tools, principles, accounting mechanisms, or how to select or deselect different technologies that are going to suit different applications for clients.
You get this special opportunity to speak with a lot of entrepreneurs, business leaders, politicians, and you get to tell them why it's important to do this now. And thinking of the question around entrepreneurs that are thinking about working in sustainability or business owners that are thinking about this exact topic, how do I become carbon neutral and why is this going to be beneficial? What would you say to that group right now, and what do you say to them in terms of why it's important and why you'd say you should do this?
Well, I think it's a new business imperative, if they're wondering like, oh, is sustainability important to my business? Like, I think we all know like the answer is yes, absolutely. And is sustainability, are these questions important for the health of our planet? Yes, absolutely. I think the question that I encourage business owners to ask themselves is like, where do I sit in this? What's my impact model? Where you can take any business and think about the potential negative effects of that business and the potential positive effects. But I think, 15 years ago, we focused more on how to mitigate the negative. And what I've really enjoyed about the conversation shifting is how can I leverage our abilities in this business and have a positive impact? What does that actually look like? And the way that that can show up is very cool and can create whole new revenue streams, whole new products. And I'm sure you've seen that in businesses that you've worked in for sure. And that's a really exciting space. So you don't need to be a nonprofit to have a positive impact. This can be a part of why your business exists. And that's a really exciting space. I definitely encourage businesses to look at like the UN SDGs and kind of take that approach to say, which of these United Nations Sustainable Development Goals can my organization actually move the needle on? And it takes you out of your normal realm of thinking to say, how does my business potentially have a positive impact on zero hunger? Or how does my business change some of the trajectories around life on land and land conservation and marine protected areas? Like when you start thinking around out of the box like that, it's amazing what businesses can come up with. And I've seen so many cool projects, side businesses, new ventures that businesses have created because they've thought about their own talents and what they can kind of offer the world. So I'm really enjoying the space and the change of like, let's do less bad and let's do more good.
Yeah, and I've interviewed probably now close to over 50 entrepreneurs in the climate sustainability space, and I think one of the most refreshing things about this is how these entrepreneurs and business founders are dedicated to their business model is solving climate change and sustainability in one way or the other, but they have this such a positive balance between this incredible like nonprofit care. But they also have this business side that there's opportunity and there is really great opportunity and sustainability looks like sustainability for our planet, but also sustainability for their business. So, Jill, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people listen or find more information about Synergy?
You can find out more about what we do on our website, synergyenterprises.ca. And from there, you can check out the work that our foundation does as well, and the programs that we have around circular economy and food security, and all the community building work that we do there as well.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Someone Like You. We're a new podcast, and I would love if you can do a few things. One, please share the podcast with a friend, family member, work colleague, anybody that you can think of that would enjoy learning more about these incredible brands. Please also support these type of companies. They're doing the hard thing, and the hard thing often takes a lot of people to get on board. And don't forget, please subscribe on the platform of your choice and give us a rating and review. I'm Marco Pimentel. Thank you for joining us today. For more information on Someone Like You, you can find us on Instagram at Someone Like You Podcast, with all the links to the podcast, our website, and more information about the brands that we feature. Thank you again.